This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Whether we're aware of them or not, artificial intelligences play a big part in our lives. Many of these systems rely on a branch of AI called machine learning, which, as its name suggests, allows computers to learn, often from large data sets. These systems and the algorithms that underpin them are used all over the place, including in the public sector, as Rima Vaithyanathan, co-director of the Centre for Social Data Analytics at Auckland University of Technology in New Zealand, explains.
So societally, I think they're being used in huge number of places, in criminal justice, in education, in hospitals to try to figure out how to give services, how to make clinical decisions, you know, how to identify people who might become unemployed. So it's being used in a lot of areas.
While machine learning algorithms potentially offer many benefits, there are also concerns. If machines are making decisions that could hugely affect someone's life, how can we be sure that those decisions aren't biased or prejudiced? This week, Nature has a feature article looking at algorithm accountability. But how could bias get introduced into an algorithm-based system in the first place?
I mean, often it's, in my use cases, it's there because of the data that we're bringing into the algorithms. Often those data comes out of systems which themselves might have had human bias introduced. And so the algorithm could correct for those biases, but they could also exacerbate those.
And this is one of the ways that bias might be introduced. A machine learning algorithm can be trained by showing it many previous examples. So any existing bias found in the data it learns from could be repeated or amplified. Unfortunately, countering this is tricky, as a lot of these algorithms are part of closed proprietary systems, so knowing how any biases have come about can be difficult. But a closed system isn't necessarily the only way. Back in August 2016, Allegheny County, in the US state of Pennsylvania, launched the algorithm-based Allegheny Family Screening Tool, designed to help call center staff assess whether a child is at risk of abuse. Rima led the team hired to develop it.
So the algorithm is simply a predictive analytic tool that grabs all the relevant data systems. It has been trained on an outcome, which is whether the child is going to be removed from home in the subsequent 2 years. And it offers to the person at that call center a number from 1 to 20, where 20 says this child is in the 5% most likely to end up with being removed from home in the 2 years following the call, and one means they're in the lowest 5% likelihood.
Unlike many algorithm-based systems, the Allegheny Family Screening Tool was designed from the outset to be open. Meetings were held with researchers, officials, and the local community to talk about the system and how it might affect them. It's also being independently assessed, and the system is open to public scrutiny.
We're very passionate about transparency in this type of use because I think we don't actually know what the right answer is often, like what is the fairest algorithm? What does fairness mean? But those were all decisions that really needed a kind of a conversation with the community and the agency and the researchers. And only transparency can give you that. I think when you're in these sorts of situations where you really have a diversity of opinions and all of them are just as valid in terms of how comfortable people are, how fair they think they are, what they mean by fairness, it's really important for that to come out through a community conversation.
Defining what fairness actually is very complex. So being able to have these conversations and knowing what an algorithm is doing is important. But what about closed systems where algorithms aren't open to scrutiny? Here's Solon Barocas from Cornell University in the US.
There's a fairly active community of researchers who are trying to develop methods to audit these kinds of systems from the outside. Of course, the challenge with that is that not all such systems have a public-facing component where you can submit this kind of information to see what the output looks like. So for a really good example of this is like we might want to be able to audit from the outside one of these credit scoring models, but it's not really possible to submit fake information to creditors to then see how they would respond to these different kinds of applicants. In contrast, you know, trying to audit the way that online advertising works is a lot more tractable because you can develop these sort of fake profiles online and then see how online advertisers treat those users.
Other researchers are taking different approaches, releasing open source software or starting companies that offer algorithm auditing services. Facebook and Microsoft both announced this year that they'll be developing tools to help detect bias as well. And it's not just researchers. Politicians are beginning to take notice. For example, the UK Parliament's Science and Technology Committee looked at algorithm bias in a recent report, and the French President Emmanuel Macron spoke about the issue when announcing a national AI strategy. However, there's still a way to go. Algorithm-based systems are being used all over the place today, with little or no way to test whether they have any biases. So what needs to be done as new tools are developed to make sure they're as fair as possible? Solon has some ideas.
So I think, you know, really one is to like recognize that there's no neutral way to learn from historical data. And the people who are developing these tools need to be extremely thoughtful and sensitive to what exactly is being recorded and the data that they're using to train these systems. And increasingly, I think the community is aware of that. What to do about these problems is going to be, I think, an ongoing debate. And the goal here should be to have that debate in a more accessible way that includes a broader range of stakeholders. At the same time, I think there needs to be more work to kind of situate what this is doing in a broader debate around sort of, you know, what is a just institution? What is the appropriate way to think about fair employment or a fair process in the criminal justice system? So my answer is like, there's a role here for these systems to be made more fair and themselves to make these institutions themselves more fair. But we need to keep an eye on what role they play in a larger push to kind of reform these fundamental institutions in society.
That was Solon Barocas. You also heard from Rima Vaithyanathan. You can find the feature about algorithm fairness over at nature.com/news.